be a wordsmith is defined as a person who writes, an author, a journalist, a person who commits their thoughts to paper. But I believe it is so much more. The ability to craft a story, to change lives, to transport the ordinary life to an extraordinary place, to put words on paper and awaken the imagination in ways the reader never dreamed possible. Yes, to have the ability to see what isn't there and make you see it too. To awaken the senses in new and amazing ways. To feel a cool breeze on a hot summer day on your cheeks. To smell wildflowers as they bloom. To taste a delicacy on a foreign soil. To feel like you've never felt before, touching places long forgotten. Connecting with your souls in new ways. That's what writers do. It's my pleasure to host Speaking of Writing, a new podcast. Speaking of Writing is open for authors from all over the world. This gives us an opportunity to broaden our experiences, to hear actual writers' voices, hear what inspires them, experience their trials and struggles, and realize that we all have a story, and they are all worth telling. I hope you enjoy this. Hi, I'm Rose Cushing, host of Speaking of Writing podcast, and our guest today is C. Lee McKenzie, and Lee writes a lot of young adult and middle grade fantasy and really good books about things you encounter in your life and how to overcome them. So, Lee, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, well, there's not a lot to tell, except that I got into this writing business a little bit by accident, and it sort of caught me and held me, and so I've been at it now since my first book came out in 2009. So I've been writing since then. Still have a couple of books in the on my C drive that I'm fiddling with, and I might have maybe two or three more books that I want to finish before I say, well, maybe I'm going to go to the Bahamas for a while and forget all this nonsense of writing books. That's what I do most of the time. I do a lot of yoga. I love yoga. That puts me out of my head and thinking about other things. So that's pretty much me. That's what I do. I write, practice yoga, walk a lot, and enjoy reading, of course. I have to do that if I'm going to write books, right?
Absolutely. Well, it looks like that you have written 9 books altogether, but let's start with Shattered, your most recent book. Tell me a little bit about this.
I guess to tell you about that, it would be that it was a story that I don't know why I started writing it, actually. I saw an article about a paraplegic young girl who was overcoming, you know, a different way of life. And so I sort of started thinking about, well, what would it be like to suddenly have your life totally turned upside down, you know, when you had so much going for you? What would you do? Would you just give up and not do anything else with your life, or would you overcome the hurdles? So I made Ruby Brown is her name, and my protagonist. I made her a top notch down here, still here. She's on her way to qualify for the Olympics, and then she has this terrible accident that makes her paralyzed from her waist down. But I added in a mystery element, so you don't know who did it, but this was not a total accident. This was caused by someone who didn't want her to make the Olympics. And so then there's a small mystery element to this story, which is kind of fun for me to do. I had never done that before. That's pretty much it.
Well, this book has gotten amazing reviews. 4.7 is your average on Amazon. That's pretty impressive, lady.
Well, thank you. It's kind of fun to get them. I like to hear what other people say about my stuff, because you never know when you put it out there, you know, what people are going to say about what you write.
True.
Your head and your ideas. Not everybody agrees with them, but yeah, this one's done pretty well. And it was a it was a finalist in the Indie Awards. So that was nice. That was very nice to have that happen.
Absolutely. So when you were writing your book, Shattered, you said you added a twist to it. So tell us, what was your biggest obstacle in getting this book done and getting it finished? What was the hardest part?
The hardest part for me was I wanted her to obviously be traumatized and hurt and dejected and ready to give up. I also wanted you to be very angry. And to do that and make your protagonist, you know, likable at the same time, that seemed to be a challenge for me. So what I did was I added a sidekick. I always think sidekicks in stories are great. And the sidekick in this story is kind of a sassy young lady who has lost a leg, and she winds up in rehab with Libby. And they get together as cohorts, and they become extremely good friends. And that's how I worked it out. But it just pushed me to kind of think, well, how am I going to make Libby a likable, lovable, you know, sympathetic, empathetic character and still get all these other emotions that were pretty negative in her characterization?
Yeah, I would think that would be really hard. And you know, this subject is only 19 years old, so she doesn't have a lot of life experience to fall back on and support her.
No, she doesn't.
So that's, you know, an interesting genre that you write in. I've not written anything for that age group of people, so it's always fascinating for me.
I don't know how it happened. I think I like the I like that age group. I mean, it's a time in our lives, don't you think? When you look back and you see, when you look back at your life, I think those high school years were so critical, and we didn't realize it at the time. But those things, the friendships you form then, some of the ideas you form, a lot of who you are happens during those very formative years. You're just coming out of being a child, you're coming into adulthood. So I think that's why I find it fascinating, because I can relate, I can still relate to that same person that I was, even though it was a long time ago. And I think that there are still some universals that apply to all teens, no matter which era. I mean, there are differences, obviously, in the way we dress, the way we talk, the way we think about things, but there are some universal qualities that the teen experiences, and I think I like to sort of dive into those when I'm writing my story.
Yeah, I think that's really neat. It seems like a long, long time ago, but when you're talking about it, you know, it does bring back those memories and things. And I have read a lot of books myself in that age group just because they were great stories. So good job on Shattered. I want to read that.
Well, good. I hope you like it.
I'm sure I will. I'm at that weird age where all of my kids are grown and my grandchildren are grown, but my great grandchildren are babies, so I don't have anybody to buy it for but myself. But that's okay, they'll get there. So tell me, out of your 9 books, which was your most challenging book to write?
Most challenging. Oh dear, I'm really scrambling to think. Maybe Double Negative. That was the most challenging, but it's the one that sticks to me the most too, because it was about illiteracy. So the protagonist in this story was, a boy who struggled. It wasn't that he was stupid. It was that he had really poor eyesight, and nobody seemed to catch it. I guess he was pretty good. He was smart enough that he could outsmart the teachers and, you know, the counselors at his school. And his parents were very negligent. He really didn't have a good home life, so they didn't catch it. But when they finally did, he obviously could catch up and read and get along in the world. But he was on his way to jail, actually, unless he straightened his life out. And so that was a that was a hard book for me to write, and yet I really fell in love with the main character. His name is Hutchison McQueen. I just loved that chick. I thought he was a great character, but I wanted to give him a story, so I didn't give up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that sounds like such a great story, and 31 five-star ratings. You know, you've done something right, woman.
It's hard to get reviews, you know.
Yeah, I know.
That's really hard to get reviews, to get noticed. You know, you're just a small P and a very, very large sea of writers and some really great writers out there. So, I mean, being, you know, just sort of an independent, I have published both traditionally and independently, and I enjoy both the processes, but I've never, I'm not very good at promoting. I try my best, but I'm not really good, I really don't want to spend a lot of time on it because I have other things I want to do, and that can take your whole life over as an author.
Oh, yeah.
You want to sell books and get reviews. So I sort of am content with the fact that I get a few and they're good. I'm pleased with that.
Yeah, you know, so many people have said to me, and it's certainly true, that they thought the hard part was writing the book, but the hard part starts after you're finished.
Absolutely, it does. And it's not, I think you're not as motivated. I think if you're, I mean, some people are really good at it. I mean, I look at some of my friends and they are just great promoters. They do such a great job. And I said, I wish I could do that. I don't, so that's the way it is. That's all right. Well, so I'm happy that I got going and I'm pleased with the reviews I do get.
Like you say, it's a full-time job. And
it is.
You know, and not everybody's cut out to be a marketer. You know, I mean, that's a tough thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a whole different part of this writing business. It's a business, and it needs to be treated as such if you're really going to. I think I treated it as such when I began. I really worked hard at it. And now I'm beginning to think, I'm just going to write for me now. And if somebody wants to read it, I believe that would be great. If not, that's okay too.
Yeah. Well, you know, in today's world, our markets are so convoluted because there's so much information out there and you have access to so many things that, you know, your market share is much smaller than it was 20 years ago, we'll say. And yeah, it makes a difference. It really does. And so if you can write from your heart and for fun and enjoy the journey, then that may be the best part of all after all is said and done.
I totally agree. Absolutely.
Now, self-publishing and traditional publishing, do you have any pros and cons about that to share with us?
Oh, yes, of course. I like traditional publishing. I like it for the reason that I don't have to do all of the work.
Right.
So, I mean, they take a lion's share of it. And I like the fact that you usually get some input into it. The thing I don't like about it is sometimes it takes a tremendously long time to get it out. You know, and if you're in one of the big companies, I would imagine it's years you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, those are the upsides and the downsides. The thing I love about indie publishing is I can do it whenever I want. I have total control over everything. I get to choose the covers and the, you know, set everything up, and I can do it fast. I can do it fast, and if I get a book done and it's ready to go, I can say, okay, I'm going to publish this this week. On the other hand, I have to do everything, and that takes a lot of time and a lot of energy. And so I think that having my feet in both camps has been great because I certainly know which way I want to go when I have a book ready to go out. And so I can't recommend either one. I think everybody has to choose it, and actually I think choosing both is kind of neat.
I do too. I think there's some projects, you know, that you know people are going to read for the joy of reading it, but it's never going to be a number one bestseller. And they're good to self-publish and put them out on the market and let people enjoy them. And then there's things that you feel stronger about, you know, the storyline and the quality and the popularity of the item at the moment makes a difference as well. And that's a good thing to do with a traditional publisher. So I think that's good advice.
Yes, well, I hate to give advice because, you know, that's...
Yes.
Sad. And I said, oh, no, I didn't mean it that way.
Right. We can all, everybody has a different journey, but it's always good to listen to people's thoughts about, you know, both sides of that track, because that's probably one of the biggest questions people ask is, should I self-publish or should I traditionally publish? And there's no right or wrong answer.
No, you're absolutely right. That's true. So, yeah, and then there's also the where you can pay to be published. There's that option as well, where you actually pay the publisher to publish your work. I know a lot of people who do that as well.
I do too. And surprisingly, it's a pretty fair distribution of, you know, the folks that are happy that they did it that way and satisfied, and the folks that's not. So I guess that holds true across the board with all of it, though.
It does. Yeah, it's a very different publishing world than when I started, even just a few years ago. I mean, when I started, there were no options. You queried the publisher or an agent, and you waited, you know, a few months for them to get back to you, and then you went through that process of, you know, editing with them and so forth. And now that's a whole different ballgame.
Absolutely. And I've seen a lot of the big publishing houses have gone hybrid now too, so that they'll help you self-publish or they'll do traditional.
Yeah. Well, I think they've had to be, you know, pretty flexible because they saw that the gates were open and people could do the same, and they had to get any more of the market share, they were going to have to be a little more flexible about what they were offering.
I agree. People want it right this minute, you know, and if you can't provide that, somebody else will. So they've had to change a lot.
Right. Well, that's just good. So it's just different. So you finding your place in the whole thing is what is the challenge. Finding where you fit and where you can be successful in your own life. I mean, I think success is what you think it is. You know, what do you want, and have you accomplished it? That to me is the biggest part of this, you know, what did I want and what did I want to accomplish? And I think I pretty much did what I wanted. I would have loved to have been a best-selling author, but I don't think I ever thought I was going to be. I thought, oh, well, that would be nice, but, you know, let's be realistic. You know, you've never had a writing course. You don't have an MFA. You just are a person who wants to write a story, so let's set your bar as high as you want, but not so high that you know you're never going to make it.
I agree with you. When I write, you know, I hope some copy sales and I break even and people enjoy my work, but I never have had aspirations of being in the top 10. I don't want to work that hard at it, you know, because I'm at an age in my life where I want to do this because I enjoy it.
Exactly. Yeah, well, we're in the same boat, I think. So let's, So it makes sense, and we're sensible people. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's good, you know, to have that ambition and drive, but that was a long time ago now, and now I'm kind of more in coast mode.
It's nice, isn't it?
It is. I'm happy to have earned that. Now, of all your books, do you have a favorite?
Oh, gosh.
It's like your children, isn't it? Picking a favorite one.
Really hard. You know what's funny? Because I, you know, once in a while I'll think about these characters, and actually I have some characters just stand out, and I think, well, now which book was that character in? I really like Princess of Lost Gorgeous. I still think it's a good book, and that was my second book, so it comes out. And then Double Negative, I really like that one. I think probably it would come in as second. I'm kind of going to rank them now. I like Shattered, third. Not Guilty, fourth. Sudden Secrets, fifth. And I can't remember the others. The others are in my middle grade, so I won't talk about them. But, so I think that's how I would rank them. I still think Princess of Lost Gorgeous is a good story.
Right. I was just looking through your books here. I'm a horse person, so of course Sliding on the Edge has caught my eye.
That was my very first book. That was, and you know, it was a I like that book. I that really launched me in this writing business, and that came from an article in a newspaper about a study they'd done about the Ivy League school students, and it was like 5 out of 7 had admitted to some sort of self-abuse. And that just shocked me, and I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about cutting yourself. I started to do some research. I was going to write an article about it, and then when I found out there were so many articles out there by people who were professionals, psychologists and counselors, then I thought, well, I don't think I want to write a book, an article. So one night I started thinking about it. Well, maybe I could write a story about it, and that's when I started fighting on the edge. And she still is pretty close to my heart as well. But I think it was such a young book for me, you know, my first one.
Right.
So it has first book kind of in it.
Right.
I don't put it as my first choice. It's sort of like a special sort of different category from all the rest of them.
I agree. I understand. I just finished my first book recently, and I get what you're saying. It may not be the best thing I ever write, but it was the first thing I ever wrote that was a book.
Yeah, and it's quite a thing to finish it and say, oh, I wrote the end to this, and actually do that.
Yeah.
I will always remember that one as being very special.
It is quite an accomplishment. You know, I come from a magazine and newspaper background and been published hundreds of times. I even owned a magazine about horses, but I didn't consider myself a writer until I held that book in my hand. So, do you write other things besides books? Do you do any kind of articles or blogs or?
I do a blog. I have a blog. I used to blog every day. That's when I started. Well, actually, when I first started, my editor said, you know, well, where's your blog? And I said, well, I don't have one. She said, well, you know, you've got to have one of those. This is 2009, right?
Right.
And I said, how do you do that?
Right.
So I learned how to do that. So I still blog. I only now blog once a month. I'm with the Insecure Writer Support Group. You may have heard of them.
Uh-huh.
They are they're at the top 100 blogs, sites for writers. And so I'm one of their admins, and I work with them. And then so I blog on the first Wednesday of each month, which is fine for me now. I think once a month is a good schedule. And it's a pretty large group, so I get a lot of traffic, which is nice, and I enjoy it. I don't stress about it. I do the blog. I do short stories. I dabble in poetry, but not much. Leave that to really good poets. And outside of that, I'm not writing articles anymore. I sort of don't have time for that, but I still enjoy it. I think it's fun. I really like nonfiction a lot. I guess that answers your question. I do a little bit of this and that, but mostly I'm in the novel camp right now.
Right. So what advice would you give to writers that are just starting out with their project? You know, what kind of words of wisdom can you give us?
Well, I think if I had it to do again myself, I would know more about the business before I put my book out. I'd write the book. I mean, just write it and enjoy it. But then before I put it out into the world, I think I would learn more about it. I'd network more. I'd find out, what my market really was, how to connect with different people online, particularly now. I mean, that's what everybody does. That's what I would do. I would just say, try to get a better picture of what this whole thing was before I put my book out. Because once it's out there, you only have a very short period of time for it to make a mark, and then the rest of it's pushing it all the time if you want to get it out there and have visibility. You need to know that. You need to know a lot of strategies for getting your book on, in the print, and then out to the public. That's all I would say. My first advice is enjoy it. Enjoy the writing, because that's really the most important part. If you don't enjoy the writing, then you're not really going to do this very well or very long.
I agree. It's a very long process.
Yeah.
All right. Well, tell us again where we can find all of your books and information about you to connect.
Well, I'm on Amazon. I have my always C. Lee McKenzie. I'm at C. Lee McKenzie. And I blog at cleemckenziebooks.com. I do that, as I say, the first Wednesday of each month. I do have a newsletter. I have a gift if people want to sign up for my newsletter. That's on my landing page at Sweetie McKenzie Books. And I do give them a free story. That's one of my short stories. So that's where I am primarily. I have Smashwords, of course. My books are on Smashwords, and most of the distributors have them. So I'm out there. I'm online.
That sounds good. It looks like you're not hard to find. And I highly recommend Lee's books. If you have kids in these age ranges, you know, these are really, really good reads for them. And developing that reading at an early age is a very, very good thing for your kid for the rest of his life. So thank you, Lee, for being on the show today.
Well, thank you, Rose. It's been great to hear you.
And as always, thank you guys for listening.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Everybody has a story. Just let your mind drift away and find yours. I know it's out there. What are you waiting for?